Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Live from the New York Giants Super Bowl Champions Parade, it's the Fourth and Inches show, the 200th show. Congratulations, Jana. How are you this evening?
Well, I'd be a lot better if I had a kitten-sized Jake Luton jersey on its way to your house for Blue the Kitten. I almost, as much as I hated rooting against Aaron Rodgers, I almost was vindicated on Sunday. So that was tough. The Cowboys were on a bye, so, you know, things weren't as bad as they could have been. How are you doing so far, Sherpa? Your Giants are on a bye this week. You got to be riding high.
Yeah, I am, until I looked at their schedule and realized that I think they're only going to win two more games this season. But that might still be enough to win the division.
It could be enough to win the division. It could be.
I think Cincinnati and Dallas are winnable. But other than that, I think they might be looking at a they might be going 2-4 from here on out, I think, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's nothing really pretty happening in the NFC East, I think, is the kindest way to put it.
I was just glad they beat Philadelphia for the first time in 4 years. That was a milestone.
That was nice. I'll take that.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
it's little things in life, you know?
Yeah, I can't believe this is our 200th show already. It doesn't seem like we've been doing it that long. I don't know how many names I've mangled over the 10 years, but YouTube is my friend. I even learned how to pronounce Kalen Ballage's name correctly this week, so I'm feeling proud of myself.
That's good. You got Tua Tagovailoa last week. You got Kalen Ballage this week. You're on a roll. If San Antonio Holmes ever comes out of retirement, you're in trouble.
and I intentionally left Tua off of my top 10 quarterbacks list this week because I wasn't sure that I wanted to press my luck. But he is on the waiver wire list, so I've got one shot.
He's out there. He's out there. We're all just going to have to cross our fingers and hope for the best. It is pretty crazy to think that we've come to 200 episodes. We started this 11 years ago, just kind of winging it like, hey, we think this will be cool. And we've had quite the ride since then. We've been nominated for awards. We've been all over the place on other podcasts. I've lived in 4 states. We've done the show from various places around the country.
Yeah, I can still remember you doing the show once from a restaurant kitchen. And
yep,
I think
kitchen
my favorite, my oddest place that I've done the show from was I was in a building in New York City once that didn't have very good cell reception, so I went outside in about 30-degree weather in an overcoat and gloves with my show notes and did the show, but you do what you got to do.
Hey, man, you do. I think I did it driving down 95 one night. I mean, we've been all over the place.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, we both moved. I've gotten married and been through several relationships each, so, it's been a crazy 10 years, but here we are.
We've adopted a few cats along the way.
Yeah. 3 in particular on this end, but
just one over here. I got to catch up, but we've got Blue the Kittens now, a frequent flyer on the show. At some point, we'll probably have to stop calling him the kitten, but, you know, called LeBron James
next
the kitten
season
for a while.
Yeah, that's true. I'll graduate to be Blue the Cat next season.
Yeah, we can only hope. Maybe next season he'll be wearing a nice Jake Luton jersey. Just never know. Still a chance. Not this week.
I think he'll still be Luton free.
Well, I think we're probably all going to be Luton free after this week because he's probably going to get murdered by the Steelers defense. So we'll pour a little out preemptively for our homie Jake Luton. But it's certainly been a wild ride. We've got an action-packed show, per usual. We've got a plethora of injuries this week, including the vast majority of quarterbacks that could potentially be on your fantasy team. So the waiver wire is going to be very important, as well as we're coming into that playoff push. This is the time you got to get your team right so you can get into the playoffs and then hopefully find yourself a fantasy football title. We've got our game predictions, who to start, who to sit, daily fantasy projections as well. So we've got all kinds of stuff coming your way. As always, like we've told you for the last 200 episodes, you can find us all over social media because just 1 hour a week is just not enough. I was hoping we'd be posting a picture of Blue in his tiny kitten jersey, but that's going to have to hold off another week. You can find us on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page, on Twitter at the number 4THN Inches Show, at JKIM16 and Fantasy_Sherpa. And of course, you can find any episode you missed, or if you just want to hear the sound of our voice, you can find it anywhere that your favorite podcast is, which of course is ours, and on Blog Talk Radio on our show page as well. So there's 199 other episodes you could be listening to currently. So, you know, if you're traveling for Thanksgiving, now's the time to plan accordingly. And we are coming up next week is our always popular Thanksgiving edition, where we'll be naming our turkeys, perhaps pardoning a few. That is, if there's anyone still healthy to pardon at that point.
Or denying that they need a pardon.
Yeah, this is true. Also, to throw yet another wrinkle into your lineups for this week, we do have four teams on a bye. So a few of those healthy players are actually just not playing this week, including Buffalo, Chicago, your New York Giants, and the San Francisco 49ers. So let's dive right into our injury report. You can cook your Thanksgiving turkey ahead of time. Whatever you need to do, you get a little time on your hands here. Probably the most notable of the week is Drew Brees. He's going to likely miss time, though no one's actually committing to that, after suffering multiple broken ribs and a punctured lung. Allegedly, he came into the game on Sunday with one fractured rib and left with at least five on both sides of his rib cage. He punctured a lung, and that's why we got the Jameis Winston experience for the second half. They seem to not want to commit to him missing any time. They're not putting him on IR, but most doctors are saying optimistically 2 to 3 weeks is probably what he's going to miss. I mean, if I had five fractured ribs, I would probably be on the IR forever. So props to him for playing through that for at least some of the time. Also, scary final moments last night on the Monday Night Football game. Nick Foles was carted off at the end of the game with what looks like potentially a fractured hip injury. Matt Nagy was definitely not optimistic post-game about his condition, but today it's being reported that Foles likely has escaped a major injury. They're just calling it a hip and glute injury right now, and it's possible that he's going to be available after their bye this week. Whether or not he'd be starting, unsure. Don't forget, Mitchell Trubisky was in for one play 2 weeks ago and injured his shoulder, so he might not be available. Depends how healthy they get coming off the bye. So who's going to play quarterback for the Bears? We're not really sure, but Nick Foles does not have a fractured hip, so that's a real positive. Matt Stafford suffered a thumb injury on Sunday. X-rays are negative. He shouldn't miss any time, unless, of course, he ends up on the COVID list for a third time this season without actually having COVID. He's a frequent flyer there, so hopefully he'll stay healthy and away from sick people this week. Panthers quarterback Teddy Bridgewater left the game with a knee injury on Sunday. They're calling it a sprained MCL and is saying that he's day-to-day. He was relieved by P.J. Walker, XFL phenom from the Houston Roughnecks, who went 5-0 during his XFL time. As a season ticket holder here in Washington for the XFL, I can tell you there were some quality players. He was far and above most of them. So if he is under center, dude can throw a little bit. I don't hate the idea. But out in Denver, someone who's not really throwing all that well is quarterback Drew Locke. He's dealing with what they're calling a rib injury. They're saying it's a severe strain and some bruising in the rib area, not actually any fractured or broken ribs. He is being called week to week. He's not ruled out yet for this week, but he's, quote, on an uphill battle for him to play. So very unlikely you see Drew Locke under center this week, and in the future still questionable. The Dolphins released running back Jordan Howard. He has also cleared waivers as of this afternoon, so he's eligible to sign somewhere else. Where that might be, we're not sure, but there are certainly some teams who need running back help. Green Bay officially activated Alan Lazard from the injured reserve list from that core injury, where hopefully we might see him last week, but as always, those Green Bay trainers are a little more cautious than everybody else, so he's going to be back and playing this week. The 49ers are still hoping to have Jimmy Garoppolo back at some point this season with his second high ankle sprain, but it's definitely not going to be this week. They're on a bye, and Nick Mullins is still going to be your guy coming out of the bye week, but they are hoping he'll play at some point. That's like a big shrug out of San Francisco. So we'll see what happens there. The Jaguars put running back Chris Thompson on IR today with a back injury. So they are certainly very thin at running back. Also, quarterback Gardner Minshew is not going to return this week. It's still going to be the Jake Luton experience. He is beginning to throw this week, so that's a good sign coming back from that thumb injury. Quite frankly, I wouldn't want someone's first game back to be against the Steelers right now either, so that makes some sense to me. There are multiple teams dealing with positive COVID tests so far this week, notably the Browns, Giants, Falcons, and the Raiders. The Browns did have to close their facility for part of the day yesterday, but it is reopened now. So keep an eye on that. Obviously, you want to have a backup plan for the Giants, less so, but for the Falcons, Raiders, and Browns players on your roster this week, just in case. Cowboys quarterback Andy Dalton has risen from the dead. He is back from his concussion and positive coronavirus test. He is fully practicing and is going to be their starter this week against the Minnesota Vikings or the Fighting Dalvin Cooks, as pretty much everyone else is calling them now. Seattle still having major injury woes, particularly at running back. Chris Carson did not practice. He's still hoping to play this week with a foot injury. Coming into the week, they seem more optimistic about him than Carlos Hyde, but Carlos Hyde's actually the one practicing right now. He was limited. Also, more concerning to me, though, both of their centers are not practicing. They have two centers on the roster. Neither of them have been practicing this week. That's not great for Russell Wilson, so keep an eye on that. Adam Gase has announced that Joe Flacco will be the starter this week. Sam Darnold's still dealing with that shoulder injury, so we're going to get the Joe Flacco experience once again. The Carolina Panthers are likely going to be without running back Christian McCaffrey for another week and possibly more going forward. He's still week-to-week with that shoulder injury. The Ravens lost tight end Nick Boyle for the season with a pretty gruesome knee injury on that game Sunday night. Dolphins are likely going to have running back Matt Breida back from his hamstring injury. So Jordan Howard clearly was losing the few touches he had, and we'll see how Matt Breida fits in with that offense now that Tua is under center. In Buffalo, wide receiver John Brown left the game with what looked like a pretty bad leg or ankle injury. They're on a bye this week. It doesn't seem to have been as serious as it looked initially, so they're hoping that maybe he'll be back on the field after the bye week. Vikings tight end Irv Smith is dealing with a groin injury. He's questionable. He did not play last week, so they're going to see how he practices this week. Out in Arizona, running back Kenyon Drake returned from his ankle injury last week. He has been limited at practice so far this week, but it's more a precautionary thing than anything else. He should be fine for this weekend. In Cincinnati, they're still very up in the air about whether or not running back Joe Mixon is going to play this week with a foot injury. So you're certainly going to have to see how the rest of the week goes practice-wise with him. Same thing goes for Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley. They seem to think whether or not he practices on Wednesday is going to be a pretty good indicator about whether or not he's playing. He isn't practicing, but he has been running with trainers during practice, so at least he's moving pretty well with that foot injury. So I would think it's more than likely we're going to see him come Sunday, but keep an eye on that. No news yet on Lions wide receiver Kenny Golladay, who's missed the last two games with a hip injury. He is not on the practice field yet, so we're waiting to see how that goes, but I would definitely have a plan B there. Eagles tight end Zach Ertz is eligible to come off IR this week. He's been dealing with that ankle injury. It doesn't look like he's going to be activated off the IR yet. They have until week 14, so I don't think this is going to be the week. Possibly next week we'll see him back, though. Wait and see for Chiefs wide receiver Sammy Watkins. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury. Pretty decent chance he plays this week. He did practice a little bit leading up to their week 9 game, and then they had that bye last week, so I think he's going to be back on the field. Colts tight end Jack Doyle is still in the concussion protocol. Pretty doubtful we're going to see him on the field this week. Jaguars wide receiver Laviska Shenault is returning to practice this week. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury, so that is a good sign for his availability this week. So keep an eye on that. In Seattle, wide receiver Tyler Lockett is day-to-day with a knee injury. He is not practicing right now, so I would definitely keep a close eye on that. In Seattle, tight end Greg Olsen is questionable. He popped up on the injury report today with a foot injury. He was limited at practice. And our favorite running back, Jamichael Hasty, he broke his collarbone this week. He's likely done for the season. Coming back off the bye week, the 49ers are hoping to get a little more depth at running back. It looks like Tevin Coleman's going to return from his knee injury, as well as Raheem Mostert. So might have some guys healthy. It's just not so much this week. What have you done in your time, Sherpa?
Well, I baked a celebratory cake for us, but then I turned away for a second and threw the kitten and ate it because he has this food aggression thing.
He might not be kitten-sized anymore after eating a whole cake.
Well, it was a pretty small cake, but still, yes, you're right. He could probably play center for the Seahawks.
Yeah, he might play better with the Seahawks this week. After the Kings, he's probably, I mean, Russell Wilson runs around enough. I think anybody could do it at this point. They just need to find someone who's actually still healthy and, like, maybe they could get a jersey on.
If the job requirement is getting a jersey on him and just having him run around and trip people, he'll be pretty good at that.
That's his forte. That's his sweet spot, huh?
Speak from experience, yeah. And I'm not as pleased as Russell Wilson.
He's a five-tool kid, and we
so.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. All right, waiver wires?
Yes. You got to fill these holes we have here.
All right. So starting off at running back, I like Salvin Ahmed with the Dolphins going up against Denver this week. DJ Dallas, even if Carlos Hyde is healthy, going up against Arizona. Naeem Hines, who's carved out a nice piece for himself in the Colts passing attack the last couple weeks. Gus Edwards, Boston Scott, Cam Akers, Malcolm Brown, Kalen Ballage, Jordan Wilkins, Brian Hill, and Devontae Booker, all widely available in leagues. Pick them up if you need them.
Yeah. It seems almost like running back has a lot more depth this week. I feel like they've been the walking wound and we're finally starting to get a little healthier. It's like quarterback is definitely our wasteland this week as far as the waiver wire.
Yeah, I mean, when we start to get, you know, guys like Raheem Mostert and, you know, last week Nick Chubb came back and Austin Eckler is supposed to be back and hopefully Christian McCaffrey before long. So hopefully that'll help some people's fantasy teams.
Certainly will help mine, that's for sure. I get it. Tired of watching Christian McCaffrey on my bench, I'll tell you.
Yeah. So for wide receivers, I like Jacoby Myers for New England. Alan Lazard, as you mentioned, off of IR. His running mate Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Michael Pittman, T.Y. Hilton, and Zach Pascal. So pretty much any Colts wide receiver is available, widely available. Jalen Reagor, Sammy Watkins, Michael Gallup, Larry Fitzgerald, Nelson Aguilar, Tim Patrick, Keelan Cole, Hunter Renfro, Randall Cobb, Rashad Higgins and Rashad Perriman, all widely available on many leagues. Those would be my wide receiver waiver wire recommendations for the week.
Yeah. As much as I don't love Philip Rivers, they're certainly going to throw an awful lot, so not a bad spot to be looking.
Okay, moving on to quarterbacks. Lots of choices here. Two, Derek Carr liked the matchup against Kansas City this week. Alex Smith, Baker Mayfield. I'm all in on the Jameis Winston experience against Atlanta. Kirk Cousins, Tua Tagovailoa, nailed it. Teddy Bridgewater, if he's healthy enough to play. P.J. Walker, if he isn't, thank you. Joe Flacco, Philip Rivers, Andy Dalton, Jake Luton, and Brett Ripien if Drew Locke's not available. Those are all guys. So that's basically half the league that's eligible to start this week. You know, that's on waiver wires, those are the guys that I'd be looking to roughly in that order.
Yeah. I mean, Jake Luton's going to have to throw an awful lot, but he's might actually get killed in this game. So you got to weigh that risk and reward. That's not a defense I want to be playing right now.
Nobody's really been able to shut down James Robinson completely so far this season. And
he's pretty much their only healthy running back. So you almost have to kind of protect him a little bit. Like, we want to throw him out there, but I don't know who's going to be their running back should he go down.
Well, I mean, the choices are either run him into the ground or have him pass protect Jake Luton. I think I'd rather do the former.
Probably want to have him run, yes. I'm with you there.
Okay. So as for tight ends, Logan Thomas would be my top pick. If he's available in your league, Robert Tonyan, Trey Burton, Dalton Schultz, Jordan Akins, and Tyler Eifert. So pretty abbreviated list there, but some guys that may be able to help you out if you're in need of a tight end this week.
Love Logan Thomas and Alex Smith of yours too as well. So that's always a recipe for success.
Okay, and as far as defenses, if you're looking to stream one this week, if you don't like the matchup you have or your defense is on a bye, the Chargers are this week's winner of the team that gets to play the Jets. Cleveland going up against a Philly offense that hasn't been very impressive lately. Washington going up against Cincinnati. Denver versus Miami. Detroit at Carolina. Carolina hosting Detroit, and Cincinnati at Washington are all defenses that I'd consider if I needed to stream one this week.
Yeah, yeah. I've got no real beef with that.
Okay. So why don't we move on to our avoid and our top 10 and avoid list for the week?
Yeah, yeah. Let's start where we always do, running back.
All right, running back. I'll go first this week. Alvin Kamara is at the top of my list. Josh Jacobs, James Conner, Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, who looked awfully impressive in his return last week, although he made a lot of fantasy owners mad by running out of bounds at the one-yard line. Dalvin Cook, Chase Edmonds, Todd Gurley, Kalen Ballage, and Ronald Jones, on my top 10 list. And honorable mentions to Kareem Hunt, DJ Dallas, Antonio Gibson, Mark Ingram, and Mike Davis, if he's healthy enough to play and Christian McCaffrey isn't.
We agree on some. We certainly agree on some. I'm a little higher on some others, which is not surprising. I have Alvin Kamara at the top of my list as well. Not having Drew Brees certainly means that he's going to be an even bigger part of that offense. Dalvin Cook coming in at a very close 1A. I think he's going to have himself a very nice day, as well as Aaron Jones checking in at 3 for me. I have Mike Davis all the way up at number 4 on my list. Derrick Henry rounding out my top 5, Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, Nick Chubb, DeAndre Swift, and James Robinson rounding out my top 10.
As usual, our my avoid list and your recommended list have some overlap, and I'm sure your avoid list and my recommended list have some overlap. But on my avoid list this week are Derrick Henry, Ezekiel Elliott, James Robinson, Miles Sanders, Melvin Gordon, Damian Harris, James White, LaMichael Perrine, Philip Lindsay, Sony Michel if he's back, and a dishonorable mention to Boston Scott, who had a pretty nice run against the Giants, but I wouldn't want him on the roster this week. He's not in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I don't think that's going to be the most fruitful game for the Eagles as far as fantasy points go, but we shall see. It depends which team it shows up, I guess, and maybe if they want to play 4 whole quarters of football, which we haven't seen them do yet this season. On my avoid list, I've got Chris Carson at the top. I'm really not feeling good about whatever's going on. They're excited about him coming back. I am less so. I think you have better options out there. Mark Ingram checking in, as well as Brian Hill, Latavius Murray, Malcolm Brown, Matt Breida, who, yes, he's coming back. I just don't know how he's going to look with Tua. Any other week, I'm probably on board, but I want to see what happens first. Le'Veon Bell, Giovanni Bernard, Frank Gore, and Devontae Booker.
Okay. Who's on your top 10 list for wide receivers this week?
Devontae Adams still at the top of my list, possibly forever. He seems to be the only receiver that Aaron Rodgers is looking at right now. DeAndre Hopkins, who made the catch of a lifetime last week to crush the Bills' hearts. Julio Jones, Tyreek Hill, and DK Metcalf. Like I said, with Tyler Lockett hurt, I think Metcalf's going to be the beneficiary there. Terry McLaurin checking in at 6. Keenan Allen, Cooper Kupp, Adam Thielen, and Chase Claypool, number 10 for me this week.
Okay, we have quite a bit of overlap here. DeAndre Hopkins is one on my list. Devontae Adams, 2. So I agree with you about the top tier there. Tyreek Hill, DK Metcalf, Juju Smith-Schuster, who seems to have Ben Roethlisberger's eye again last couple of weeks. Michael Thomas, I expect him to play a big role in a Jameis Winston-led offense. Keenan Allen, Cooper Kupp, Mike Evans, and DJ Moore rounding out my top 10. And honorable mentions to Terry McLaurin and Adam Thielen. Tyler Lockett, if he's healthy enough to play, Julio Jones and Jarvis Landry.
Okay, all right. Tyler Lockett ended up on my avoid list. I don't love the look of this injury. I think that you can find a healthier wide receiver out there. CeeDee Lamb, who Andy Dalton's just never going to get to a third read, so he's not going to see that many targets. Jerry Jeudy again, an injured quarterback. We don't know where we're going to get there. Antonio Brown, Mike Williams, Corey Davis, Sammy Watkins, even if he's back from injury this week. Kenny Golladay, if he plays, I'm staying away from it. Michael Pittman Jr. and Jalen Reagor.
Right, my avoid list has some overlap. I've got Amari Cooper at the top of it, Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, Travis Fulgham, Jalen Reagor, Keelan Cole, Tim Patrick, and Jameson Crowder rounding out my avoid list, and dishonorable mention to Michael Gallup and Rashad Perriman.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's not a good time to be a Cowboys wide receiver right now, that's for sure.
Alrighty. Although Minnesota's pass defense has not been impressive this season, at least until...
The problem is, it's still Andy Dalton on the other end throwing the football.
I think I like Andy Dalton and the Cowboys receivers more than the Bulls with the Bears receivers, but we'll see. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe I'll have to eat some crow next week. It wouldn't be the first time in 10 years or 200 shows. So.
Oh, goodness.
How about Corey? I've had some kind of 200 shows given the amount of crow I have had to eat, but... anyway, on the quarterback. True, and it's usually the other one reminding us to eat it. So
yes, yeah, this is true.
Okay. So now for quarterbacks, I expect the Thursday night game and the Monday night game, the two bookend games, to be among the higher scoring games this week. So it won't surprise you that all four of those quarterbacks are on my top 10 list this week, but more specifically, Kyler Murray, who's just having a phenomenal season, the top of the
incredible
list, Russell Wilson, 2, Ben Roethlisberger, 3, Lamar Jackson, 4, Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, and Tom Brady rounding out my top 10, but fear not, there's more. Jameis Winston, Baker Mayfield, Alex Smith, Deshaun Watson, and Kirk Cousins, I think, are all worth honorable mentions for this week.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got Kyler Murray at the top of my list. I don't think there's really any way to argue with that. He's just phenomenal, like you said. He just keeps getting better, and his team's getting better around him, which certainly helps. Patrick Mahomes coming in at 2. Russell Wilson rounding out my top 3. I think he's going to have to throw a lot. I'm with you there. I think the Thursday and Monday night games are certainly going to be very fruitful point-wise. Justin Herbert checking in at 4, and Deshaun Watson rounding out my top 5. Ben Roethlisberger down to 6, just because I don't think he's going to have to throw quite as much, and I'm still not totally sure what his legs, how his legs are under him. Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan, and Joe Burrow rounding out my top 10. This may be the first time all season I put Matt Ryan on my recommend list for quarterbacks.
Okay, so my avoid list has Cam Newton at the top of it. Matthew Stafford,
yep.
Carson Wentz, Ryan Tannehill, Jake Luton, sorry, Blue, Joe Flacco, the Drew Locke, Brett Ripien combo, whichever one starts, and then Andy Dalton rounding out my avoid list for this week.
I shockingly also have Andy Dalton on my avoid list, as well as Cam Newton. Joe Flacco checking in, Jameis Winston. I am not excited about Jameis Winston leading this offense. It's a very explosive offense. I don't know how much Taysom Hill is going to cut into it. I think Alvin Kamara is going to be more of a star there. Jameis Winston just needs to not throw interceptions, and I'm not totally sure he can do that. Phillip Rivers also on the avoid list, as well as Alex Smith, Derek Carr, Drew Locke et al. In Denver, Ryan Tannehill, and Carson Wentz.
Okay, tight end for you like this week?
Travis Kelce. Loving Travis Kelce this week. Darren Waller as well. It makes me a little sad Jason Witten's out in Oakland because he's just never going to be the guy. Darren Waller is way too good. Mark Andrews at 3. Like I talked about, he's kind of the guy now there. He's hopefully going to get a few more looks, but we'll see. Hunter Henry, T.J. Hockenson, Dallas Goedert, Rob Gronkowski, Austin Hooper, Noah Fant, and Eric Ebron.
Yeah, so I've also got Travis Kelce at the top of my list. He's really a wide receiver masquerading as a tight end. But Travis Kelce, Austin Hooper, Darren Waller, Eric Ebron, Logan Thomas, Mark Andrews, Hunter Henry, Rob Gronkowski, Jared Cook, and Jordan Akins rounding out my top 10 honorable mention, Robert Tonyan, Ian Thomas and Greg Olsen if he's healthy enough to play.
Well, I've got Greg Olsen at the top of my avoid list. Whether or not he's healthy enough to play, I don't want to start him. I think he's just got better value out there. Irv Smith Jr. also checking in. If he's healthy to play, I don't want him on my roster. Gerald Everett, Richard Rodgers, Mo Alie-Cox, Johnny Smith, Robert Tonyan, Tyler Higbee, and Logan Thomas. As excited as I am about him, I just think that point-wise there may be better options out there.
All right. You'll be happy to know T.J. Hawkinson's at the top of my avoid list for this week. Johnny Smith and Dallas Goedert also on the avoid list. Noah Font, who's on your recommended list. Dalton Schultz, Tyler Eifert, and Chris Herndon. Hopefully you're not starting any of those last three guys, or your team is probably in more trouble than you think.
This is true. It's not great out there. That's what's going on for you. That's for sure.
All right, defense is our favorite part of the show now. The kickers are no longer part of it.
I know, I do miss the kickers. Every now and then I think about throwing in kicker and punter injuries for you, but, you know, there's just so many other people hurt.
Yeah, I really only have two tiers this week for the defenses that I'm recommending.
Okay.
There are going to be a lot of high-scoring games this week, so not many defenses that I like. But among those that I do like, Minnesota, Cleveland, the Chargers and Miami in the first tier, and second tier would have Houston, Carolina, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore in it. So hopefully you're fortunate enough to either have one of those eight on your roster currently or be able to pick up one of those eight off of waiver wire this week.
Yeah, I feel like it's not like a great week for defensive this week, but it has been, I feel like, a higher scoring season overall. I have Minnesota at the top of my list. Shockingly, I am pessimistic about someone playing Dallas. I got the Steelers at two, Miami checking in at number three, the Chargers and the Washington football team running out my top five. I've got Cleveland, Baltimore, Philadelphia, New England, and Denver checking in for the old top ten there.
Okay. For the avoid list, I basically got only two tiers, although there's more than 10 teams in them. Atlanta, Seattle, and Tampa Bay are the ones that I like the least this week, and then the rest also to be avoided would be Arizona, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Kansas City, the Raiders, Detroit, Philadelphia, Cincinnati, the Jets, Indianapolis, and Las Vegas. Well, I think I said the Raiders the first time I met the Rams. I still look at LAR.
Raiders, you just really don't want the Raiders to play defense for you this week.
No, they've moved twice since I made that, so anyway. Just a little bit.
I have Dallas at the top of my avoid list. Not a surprise there. I'm also staying away from New Orleans, the Jets, surprise, surprise. The Bengals, Patriots, Panthers, Titans, Packers, Falcons, and the Saints. I actually said the Saints twice. That's how much I don't want to start them. I have them at the top and the bottom of my list, so you only get nine.
Okay. Well, you can add one if you want. Meantime, Jen and I have a friendly little competition where we pick the games each week, and when I'm doing well, I keep track. And going into last week, I was down two games for the season, and as of the games last week, I'm now up two games for the season. So anyway,
it was a tough week. Tough week for us.
It was. We're both only getting about 57-58% picking winners, which gives you an idea of what a topsy-turvy season it's been, either that or that we're both taking more risk than we should. But anyway, why don't
we know I'm a risky
picker. Get to it. Well, there's certain things that I can take to the bank after 10 years. I know there's certain teams you're always going to pick, no matter how dire their circumstances, and certain teams you'll never pick, no matter how favorable their circumstances. So
just never going to pick Atlanta. Never going to do it. But we do have an almost full slate of games
like
this week.
Miami and Jacksonville.
I do love an underdog. Love an underperforming quarterback.
All right. Well, we should have quite a few of those for you this week, so why don't we get to it?
I'm ready. I already sold you on P.J. Walker as an XFL 5-0 undefeated quarterback, so here we are.
Sold him on me if he starts, but I'm not convinced that he will, but we'll see. Thursday night game, I like both of these quarterbacks, Arizona at Seattle. Pretty much any game involving NFC West teams, not called the 49ers, has been pretty exciting. And the crucial 4 points this season, especially the intra-division games, and I think this one will be no exception. Even though it's a short week and all, I think Seattle has been banged up on defense most of the season. Arizona gives up lots of points to good offenses. So I think this will be a back-and-forth game, but I think Arizona will prevail by a field goal at the end. I don't think they'll need a Hail Mary at the end, even though that was a wonderful sight. But I'll go with Arizona 34 and Seattle 31.
Yeah, it was a short week, two great teams. These offenses are very explosive. I like Russell Wilson cooking. I like what he's doing. Kyler Murray is just unbelievable right now. But Arizona, I think, is just riding a little higher. They're coming off that Hail Mary, just incredible victory. And Seattle, they don't have anyone play center. They don't really have a secondary. Things are a little bleak, and despite that, they still find ways to win. I just think that they're going to be outmatched and outgunned a little bit this week. I've got Arizona winning 30-24 just because I tend to be a little conservative on Thursday night games of scoring. But just something about them that screws with me.
It's strange this week, or I mean, this season, by and large, you can't go wrong taking the over in games. But on the other hand, I think Cleveland had the lowest point total for a winning team this past week since, you know, like 4 or 5 years ago. But of course, the weather played a big part in that. But anyway, it's just,
yeah, I gotta say that I would have liked that game to hit the over, but nope, wasn't gonna happen. Hopefully the weather is a little better this week. I'm tired of seeing 50 mile an hour wind gusts and missed kicks. I could do without that.
Okay, well, next up we've got Houston hosting New England, so you probably won't see either 50 mile an hour winds or 50 degree
50 points by either team? Yeah.
Probably not 50 points by either. I think you'll get 50 points combined barely, but not by much.
Yeah,
I mean, New England, do you think they're for real after these last couple of games, or is this a mirage based on playing two teams that aren't
New
exactly
England is definitely not
now.
For real. They're definitely not for real. Cam Newton's coming back to earth. He spent too much time buying weird hats for his post-game press conferences. I think Bill Belichick has done a great job of summoning the weather gods and finding different ways to make this team work, but it's still Cam Newton under center. He's gone 3 weeks without throwing an interception, which means he's already living on borrowed time, and I think this week he's going to return to form, which is mediocre, unfortunately, for New England.
All right, well, I agree on the winner. I don't, or at least I think we do, but not so sure about that we agree on Cam Newton. I think he'll have a decent game, but I just think Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback with some better surrounding talent at the skill positions, and I'll go with the hometown Texans by a field goal 27-24 here.
Yeah, I also think the Houston Texans are going to score 27 points. However, I think they're going to have a much larger margin of victory. I've got New England only putting up 17. I'm not optimistic about this team. Their defense is recovering from having COVID go through it. That's nice, but this Houston offense is going to be a lot harder to contain, especially with it not raining on them. So I don't feel good about New England's chances.
I mean, what do you make of that victory against the Ravens, where the Ravens just, you know, that was a, you know, their down game for the season, or are they just not as good as we think they are, or what do you think happened there?
I'm a little worried about both Baltimore and Tennessee. I think Baltimore's come back to earth a little bit. And I don't know if they were entirely prepared for that. I think that it was a product of having a bit of an off week. They've been very distracted with, you know, defenses calling out their plays and this and that. But I think the weather was a big factor, too. And I think they're going to bounce back. But both Tennessee and Baltimore, I think, are really hitting a lull that I don't think we expected either team to go through.
Well, the good news is one of them is probably going to win this week since they're playing each other, although with Donovan McNabb,
so.
I tell you, ties are always possible, but we'll see.
Yeah,
so,
Donovan, the czar of ties.
Yeah. So before we visit the tie store, let's go to Carolina, where the Panthers, one of Blue's rooting teams, are hosting the Lions,
yeah.
another team that Blue roots for. So,
tough game for him.
Not quite. Yeah, you know, this is a tough game for him. I'm not quite sure what to make of the Carolina quarterback situation. I'm guessing it'll be Teddy Bridgewater, but even if it ends up, you know, being P.J. Walker, I think that that Carolina has just a little bit more of a defense than the Lions do at this point. So I'm going to go with Carolina to win this in a mini shootout, but I'll say Carolina 30, Detroit 24.
Okay, we're thinking along the same way. I think this Carolina offense is a little more explosive. We also haven't – it's been a couple of weeks since we've seen Matt Stafford make it through an entire game. The thumb injury, they seem pretty nonplussed about, which is good and fine, but that Carolina defense is going to be in his face a little bit. So I've got Carolina sneaking one out here 27-24, regardless of who's under center. I still think there's going to be a lot of Mike Davis in this game as well.
Okay, next up we've got my hometown team here, even though I don't root for them, the Eagles traveling to Cleveland. They opened the season in Cleveland 8 seasons ago. Don't ask me why I remember that, but I do. But and I think they actually won that game, but I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think Baker Mayfield will have a decent game against Philadelphia secondary. I was surprised they weren't able to get more pressure on Daniel Jones.
I was too.
Past week, but I think with Nick Chubb back and just, you know, Baker Mayfield now used to not having Odell Beckham Jr. around, I think that Cleveland will win this one fairly handily. I'll go with Cleveland 30, Philadelphia 21, and hopefully that's just not wishful thinking on my part.
Well, if it is, I'm also drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm also concerned that we have gotten this far and probably a couple more games where we're in agreement. So we'll see how episode 200 is going to break down. But I also have Cleveland win this game. I've got them winning 28-20. I think there's a lot to be concerned about in Philadelphia. Injuries, coaching, play of pretty much every position. The fact that they didn't show up in that Giants game last week does not instill a lot of confidence for this week. I think Baker Mayfield's going to wake up feeling dangerous, and Nick Chubb's just going to look even more dynamic. And it could be a long day for this Eagles team.
Just anybody, in case anybody out in the audience is curious, I have agreed on every game in a week exactly once in the 200 shows. So.
Yeah.
And I think that was in a bye week where there were six teams off. So, but even getting us to agree on 13 games is a pretty monumental feat. So I think it's pretty likely we'll disagree on something before very
long. It made
long.
Us both very nervous, just for the record.
Yeah. All righty. Actually, I think I have a game picked out that we'll disagree on. We'll see if I'm right or not. But on the first one, I'll disagree on. So. Anyway, I think even with your fandom with Jacksonville, I think another cat team, but I think they're going to come up short against the Steelers. Steelers, I think, didn't look too impressive against the Cowboys, but got things back on track this past week. I think that continues this week. I'll say Pittsburgh, even on the road, wins handily. I'll say Pittsburgh 35, Jacksonville 24, and the biggest mystery for me is if Pittsburgh will score more points with their ground game or their passing game. But either way, I think you can't go wrong loading your roster up with as many, your starting lineup with as many Steelers as possible this week.
Yeah, I mean, I can make a case for a whole lot of things to happen, but even I cannot make the case for the Jaguars beat the Steelers this week. I can't do it. I tried. It's not a thing. I don't necessarily think Pittsburgh's the best team in the league, despite being the only undefeated team, but this is not going to be the week they fall from the undefeated ranks. I have them winning pretty handily, 31-20. I'd love to be wrong about this, but I just don't see a way that's going to happen.
Okay, next up we've got the two teams that Jana mentioned before is being somewhat disappointing. You know, good teams that have struggled
confusing
in the middle of the season. I guess there's something to be said for not peaking too early. Neither of these teams have that problem, but Tennessee and Ryan Tannehill traveling to Baltimore and Lamar Jackson, I'll say that talent wins out here and that Baltimore is able to regroup. I'll go with Lamar Jackson and crew. Not sure who's going to be spearheading that running attack with Mark Ingram back now and J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards still in the mix, but I'll go with Baltimore by a touchdown, Baltimore 31, Tennessee 24.
I've got a bit of a closer game. I think both teams are going to look a little more like themselves, but obviously somebody has to win unless, you know, you're the Eagles and you want to tie. But someone's going to win this game. I have it being a very close. This is going to be a great one to watch, I think. I've got Baltimore winning 28-27. Bit of a barn burner out there. Not so much like their playoff meeting last year.
Okay. Next up, we have a game between two teams that are not going to be playing past the first week of January. And the only reason they're playing in January is because the season ends on January 3rd, I think. But Cincinnati traveling to Washington. Both of these quarterbacks are, you know, having decent seasons. You know, one obviously in the beginning of his career, the other in the later stages of his career, but still fun to root for Alex Smith as he's come back from that awful gruesome knee injury a couple of years back. But I think the hometown football team is going to eke one out here. I'll go with the Redskins, the football team by a field goal. I'll go Washington 30 and Cincinnati 27 in a game that should have plenty of scoring.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. You know, maybe not the best defensive matchup we've ever seen, but Joe Burrow, I feel terrible because he's out there and he's working so hard and he really deserves to win more games than he has. But I think Alex Smith's finally going to get a win as a starter under his belt. I mean, man, did they give that one away last week. that was tough to watch, but the Washington football team's going to bounce back this week. Their defense is going to keep them in it, but I have them winning a little less scoring than you, but pretty close. I've got them winning
27-23. Okay. That was actually the first game I thought we were going to disagree on.
By now.
Next game I'm pretty sure we're going to agree on because it involves Atlanta, and I know you never pick Atlanta, and I'm picking against them, so that's pretty.
Death, taxes, and not picking the Falcons. These are our certainties in life.
And Atlanta, I think they're going to give a pretty good show on offense, but I think even without Drew Brees, Jameis Winston, you know, or Taysom Hill, whoever it is, and the Saints are going to have more than enough offensive firepower, and just a little bit of defense is more than Atlanta has. So I'll go with the final score of Saints 35, Falcons 28.
I've got the Saints winning 31-27, and I think it's that close just because I truly believe Jameis Winston's going to give it at least one pick six. He's very good at throwing guys that are not on his team. We've seen that time and time again, and he didn't really light the world on fire when he came in last week. I would much prefer to see Taysom Hill under center, but I understand that this offense probably works a little better with his dynamic out there as more of a change of pace. So it's going to be a closer game than it should, but Atlanta's still not going to win this game.
Okay, this is starting to scare me. 8 games down and
yeah.
Only 6 to go.
We've gotten to our, as I like to think of them, the afternoon games now. And if they could tell the schedule makers that the Masters was on every Sunday so we could get a little bit more in the back end of the day, I'd really appreciate that. But, you know, at least there's 5 games this week or 4 games this week.
That was strange last week with, what was it, 5 early games and 6 late games. That was that doesn't happen often, but hopefully neither does COVID. But I'm getting all thrown off by, you know, like Kentucky Derby being run in October and the Masters in November. And just,
I don't know what we're doing.
I lost all sense of time.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, we missed our Halloween episode. We were all out of sorts, so we're definitely going to hit our turkeys next week. But beyond that, it's a real crapshoot, guys.
Okay. Speaking of turkeys, we've got the Jets traveling to the Southern California to take on the Chargers this week. It's the Kalen Ballage revenge game, although a lot of games are revenge games for him since he's bounced around the league so much, but
this
one is a more recent revenge game. yeah, not sure who, presumably he'll be their lead running back, but you know, they've still got,
hard to say,
a couple of other guys in the mix. But I'll say that regardless of that, I think they're going to win this game based on Justin Herbert and the passing game more so than the run game. But I'll go with the Chargers to win this. Final score, Chargers 30, Jets 21.
Okay, we're pretty close, so our streak continues. The Chargers are too good of a team to have lost as many games as they have, and I think this Jets coming to town, this matchup is going to be just for the doctor order to kind of get things back on track. I think that whole Chargers offense is going to have a good day, Justin Herbert especially. Joe Flacco doesn't really scare a lot of people. Joe Flacco going to the West Coast with some injuries on that Jets team, it's just nothing to strike fear in the heart. So I've got the Chargers winning 31-20, so we're pretty much right along the same line.
Give a point, take a point. So Miami at Denver, this game I went back and forth on a little bit, but I think you've sold me on the Tua Tagovailoa experience.
Yep. Yeah, there you go.
And I think Miami is going to win this by a field goal, even though they're on the road in the same era. But I'll go with Miami to win there. I think it would be sixth game in a row. I'll say Miami 24 and Denver 21 as Miami wins a half game on the Idle Bills.
Yeah, I agree with you. Tua is going to be 4-0, undefeated as the starter for the Dolphins. I still dearly miss Ryan Fitzpatrick and wish he was a Cowboys quarterback, but can't have everything we want, unfortunately. This is a tougher matchup, I think, defensively and conditions-wise. It's certainly going to be cold. Like you said, they're up a mile high. So it's going to be different conditions than he's been accustomed to, but I think he'll do all right. And having Drew Lock injured certainly doesn't help anything for the Broncos. I've got the Dolphins winning 27-21.
Okay, that brings us to your favorite team, the Cowboys, traveling on the road to Minnesota. Minnesota always seems to kick away a game or two each season that they should win, and I'm a little worried about them doing that. This week, on the other hand, they seem to have righted the ship the last 3 weeks, and they're definitely headed in the opposite direction of the Bears, as we saw last night. But I think Minnesota is going to hold it together just enough to win this game. It won't be pretty, it won't be easy, but I think the flying Dalvin Cooks, as you referred to them before, will beat the not quite as flying Ezekiel Elliott by a final score 28-20.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings defense is poised to give up points. The problem is that right now the Dallas offense is just not designed to actually score all that many. There's just been too much upheaval, and every week's a new quarterback. This offense can't get anything going. I would love for this to be, you know, a bit of a trap game. I've found ways to try to talk myself into that, but as long as Dalvin Cook is on the field and moderately one piece, I find it hard that Dallas can score more points than Dalvin Cook as one single human being can score. So if for some reason he doesn't play, maybe he gets a COVID or something, maybe, you know, he magically has a baby we don't know about. For some reason he doesn't play in this game, Dallas has a chance of winning. Otherwise, Dalvin Cook's on the field, it's pretty slim to none odds there. I've got the Vikings winning 30-20.
Okay. And it's kind of weird. I just noticed, too, in past seasons, it seems like oftentimes the teams that are hosting the Thanksgiving Day games get to play at home the Sunday before, too, just because of it. I don't know. It just seems like often it works out that way. But the season just threw a quirk in the schedule. All three of the teams that are hosting Thanksgiving games are on the road this week. So make of that what you will.
Yeah, it could be.
Right, only three games left for us to disagree on, so we're in the home stretch here.
I know, I'm nervous. I'm very nervous. It's be very uneasy when we.
I don't think I'm going to fail you on this one either, though, because I know you're a big Aaron Rodgers fan, and there's just no way I can pick Philip Rivers over Aaron Rodgers, even if I like Indy's defense a little bit more than Green Bay.
Very tough.
But but I'm going to go with the Aaron Rodgers is 30, and the Philip Rivers is 27 as Indy suffers a setback after their Thursday night upset last week.
Yeah, I just, oh, God, that Thursday night game, I still haven't gotten over. No secret, big Aaron Rodgers fan. I have to atone for my sin of picking against him last week, although I was almost right. I'm just hanging on to that. I know almost really doesn't count because we're not playing horseshoes, but, God, we almost had it. I am going to right the ship here, right my wrongs. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers and the Packers to win 33-24. At this point, it's really Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams beating the Colts, but I mean, they're scoring a lot of points. There's a lot of offense on the field this week.
Okay. Next up, we've got the Sunday night game, Kansas City traveling to Las Vegas. And this actually was a tough game for me. I know that
it
most
was.
People will probably just
yeah.
reflexively pick Kansas City, but I'm actually quite impressed by the Chuckies, especially on offense this season. The defense isn't world beaters, but Kansas City, on the other hand, doesn't look like they're quite themselves yet either this season. So I'm going to pick a bit of an upset here and go with the Las Vegans at home. I'll take Las Vegas 31 over Kansas City 30 in a slight upset.
Okay, so we're finally going to disagree on one, which normally this would be reverse, and you'd be taking the Chiefs and I'd be taking the Raiders. And I do love me some Chucky and Spider 2 Wide Banana and all the shenanigans that go along there. But Andy Reid off a bye week is almost unstoppable. He might look like a giant killer tomato and his mask is all fogged up and all of that good stuff. But Kansas City coming in, I think even kind of, it's not a huge road game, but on the road in Las Vegas, I think it's going to be a much better Sunday night game than we've seen in a while. I've got Kansas City winning by a field goal 34-31. Whew, we finally got one.
Yeah, I was getting nervous there for a bit. And now just for good measure, I'm going to pick the visiting team in the Monday night game. I'm going to pick the Rams, who've been up and down all season against Tampa Bay, who's also been up and down all season. But since Tampa Bay was up last week, then they may be down this week, just the way their weeks seem to flip-flop. But I think they'll do quite well on offense. I think now with Antonio Brown integrated into that offense, of course, with the latest news, who knows how much longer he'll be on their active roster. But I'm going to say Jared Goff has a big game against Tampa's secondary. It's missing at least one starter. So I'm going to go with the Jared Goff's 34 and Tom Brady's 31, even though I have no idea who's going to get the most carries for the Rams this week.
Yeah, the running back by committee is a real mystery. Thank goodness I picked the Chiefs because I also picked the Rams. And if I hadn't talked myself out of picking the Raiders this week, we would have not disagreed on a single game. So there's no way that I can overtake you this week the way that we're picking. But I'm also picking the Rams. I don't love this Tampa Bay team. There's too many questions, too up and down. I don't like it. I don't feel good about it. I think the Rams and Aaron Donald and that defense is gonna shake up Tom Brady a little bit. And even though they're in prime time and they've changed their schedule this week, so they play better in prime time. And all the travel woes of last week, enough. Just come out and play good football or don't. Like I have no idea what this team's supposed to be, but I'm taking Jared Goff to win 31-24 over the old the Tom Brady at home in prime time. So
the Chucky revenge. Oh no, it's not a Chucky revenge game. I'm still thinking they're the Raiders. LAR.
you're just really into the Raiders this week, and I'm not mad about it. Briefly, before we wrap it up, a couple of value picks for your daily fantasy teams this week. I'm liking Teddy Bridgewater or P.J. Walker. If you're really looking to take flyer, you want to get crazy, and P.J. Walker starting this week, I would start him in a daily fantasy pick. All right. The price is going to be right. Alex Smith, probably a more reasonable, saner option for most people. Joe Burrow is also a good value as well. At running back, Damian Harris out in New England, DeAndre Swift, Nyheim Hines, and J.D. McKissick, all good options. Wide receiver, Jacoby Myers, Willie Sneed, Chase Claypool and T. Higgins, I'm recommending an awful lot of Patriots for somebody who's very down on them. But they're just priced so well. At tight end, T.J. Hockenson, Dalton Schultz, and Logan Thomas. And defensively, the Browns, Jets, Dolphins, and the Falcons. If you're looking for stacks to play this week, like I said, New England, I don't think you're going to win the game. But value-wise, the price is right there. The Falcons, Panthers, and the Saints. So that brings us to the end of the show this week. 200. We've been doing this since 2010. Thank you so much, Sherpa, for bringing me along on this crazy ride and all of you guys for hanging out with us. Hopefully we're doing another 200. How do you feel about that? You and Blue in for it?
I am. I'm not sure if Blue will be, but I'll talk to him after the show. But, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a really great ride. And, let's go for another 200. And
I like it.
Keeping
everyone...
it fun and light and yet informative.
Yes. Yeah, stick around so that you can check in for show 400 with us. As Sherpa said, we like to keep it light. We're giving a little break from the world. Everything out there is heavy, so we're just trying to steer you here to victory. You can find us next week. We'll be back at our usual time for episode 201, Tuesday night at 8:30. We'll be giving you our Thanksgiving turkeys and our pardons, which is always a good time, so definitely stick around for that. You can find us all week long all over social media and, of course, anywhere you find podcasts if you miss an episode. So thanks so much for listening, guys. Good luck this week, unless, of course, you're playing us.